Glory be to God. I am so glad you people came today. Hallelujah. You know, God is really good. He's doing things. And, you know, and just the testimonies today should show you that. It's happening. And I get a kick out of it because it happens out beyond what you can do so that we know that it's the power of God. If it was just something we did, we were working it. You got to work it. Then it would be us working it, wouldn't it? But when you just are who you are, you keep following God, all of a sudden out beyond you, things start to happen and you're like, how did that happen? I only said maybe one word, or I only did one thing, or I even thought about it. Lots of times, do you know, God will get down to the things. The Bible says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what? All that you ask or think. God's getting in my head. What are you going to do when God gets in your head? Hey. Now, we don't want to go too far with that. Try to think things. You know, we are supposed to open our mouth and speak. This is a scriptural way. But that there is the point where you're walking with God to the point where he knows what you're... We know this, right? God knows what you're thinking. You do this with your children, you know they want something. I really want that red scooter. But maybe they never said it. But you know your kid well enough that, oh, they were just thinking about red scooter and you knew what to get them. Came home one day riding a red scooter and jingling the bell there. Wayne. Hallelujah. That's how good God is. Does that mean we don't ask? Does that mean we don't pray? Does that mean we don't? No, absolutely not. We're supposed to do this. This is what the word tells us to do. But there comes a point when you're walking with him where he knows what you think before you're going to think it. Does the Bible even say that? He knows what you need before you even ask him. Well, how does he know that? He must be in your mind, Julia. He's not a mind, but he knows your thoughts and he cares about you that much. Brother, that freaks me out. I don't know. I want God in my thoughts. Well, Bible says, you know, to love the Lord your God and serve him with what? All your heart. All your soul. Your mind and your strength. And pretty soon we're just that triune being going full force with God. Hallelujah. And then we're in proper alignment. And then things just happen real quick. Doesn't take so long. Because most of the body of Christ is just all over the place. Their body's going this way, and their mind, who knows where that is, and then their spirit on Sunday morning. But when they get in alignment with their spirit, soul, and body, and they submit their body as a living sacrifice, and they make it do what it's supposed to do, even though it doesn't want to all the time. And then they make their mind think the things that they're supposed to think, even though it doesn't want to all the time. Pretty soon you can train it that way. The Bible says you can be trained towards righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, and you get to change from glory to glory, from the glory. But you got to get to the glory to be changed into another level of glory. I know that's why I think it gets easier as you go along, even though the trials may seem bigger, but it gets easier as you go along because you've been down this road before, and you know to keep your mouth straight, you know to say the same thing, and next time that problem comes up, piece of cake. We'll just walk through this one. Everybody else will go down and I go over. Hallelujah. What happened with Noah? Built that boat, took him a while. Did he have to put some of his mind into it? Did he have to put some of his body into it? Did he have to put some of his money into it? But then once this boat was built, he went up when everybody else went down. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. If you have a Bible and you would like to open it up, you go to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 30. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your holy written word. We receive your word this morning. We receive your word as if you are speaking directly to us right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive it. We believe it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, we're going to answer a question here this morning. Why are many people weak? Why are many people sick? And why are many people dead? That's basically what it means when it says sleep. That's the nice way of saying they died. I mean, we can go all around this and we can put all of our religious ideas here. And, we've all had religious ideas about why these things happen, right? Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, did this to teach you a lesson. Well, why didn't they learn the lesson? They're dead. What lesson? How to die? Brother, I don't like this man. Well, these are things in the Bible that we have to confront and look at. Look at this. Now, was Paul being moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write this to them? In a big way. So who's saying this? Did Paul just make this? Was Paul a prophet? Was he speaking this by the power of God to the people there? They were probably wondering, why are people weak and sick? Why are people dying? And so he comes out with this profound statement. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So, if there's weakness, if there's sickness, if there's sleeping going on, what's the cause? Well, we can look at what it says right in the verse before it. It says, not discerning the Lord's body. So, if not discerning the Lord's body allows sickness, allows weakness, and allows death, then discerning the Lord's body should be a cure for all of that, shouldn't it? Absolutely. Or he couldn't have said this. Not discerning the Lord's body. So discerning the Lord's body is our cure for divine health, is our cure for walking in the health that God has provided for us. By his stripes, we are healed. But not discerning that, someone can remain sick. Does this make sense? So is this good to discern? Do you want to be one who discerns the Lord's body? I do. Do we know everything about discerning the Lord's body? No. We're babies in this, and we need to grow up in this, because if we can learn how to discern the Lord's body, his broken body, which is what he's talking about here, is communion, then sickness has no place in us. Period. Ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. Well, brother, everybody comes down with. No. 4 out of 5 doctors agree. Of course they do. They want your money. Wouldn't you rather have your money than give it to the doctors? Yeah, but how are they going to pay for their houses and go on their vacation? Well, stop worrying about them, okay? So we're going to discern. You got people here? We're going to discern the Lord's body a little bit this morning. Was that a good idea? Discern the Lord's body. Divine health. I'm telling you, this is, we're having a health and wealth seminar right now. Divine health, divine wealth, not some gimmick, not some program, not some insurance plan that doesn't insure anything. All that does is insure that you can pay the doctor when he pokes you and prods you and sticks you full of pins and needles and pills. And none of it's curing you of anything. If there's weakness, and this is something that we need to bring up to the body of Christ on a regular basis, because we live in this world and people cough on you in the elevator on the second floor. Don't get off there. Go up to verse 23. This is Paul speaking. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Paul, speaking, we all agree, by the Spirit of God, said, I have what? Received. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. So Paul's not just talking about something that he heard about. He received this. He walked in this. And how many, you know, he'd get stoned, literally with stones. And lives. And gets healed. Raised up and goes on and preaches the gospel. He didn't get stoned, you know, and have to spend the next, you know, 8 weeks in traction, having one of his legs paralyzed, and he dragged it behind him. No, the healing power, he had received this of the Lord. It enabled him, right? You don't want to go to some other country and preach and have sickness plaguing you. Well, what's the point of you going there? Go there and get malaria. Yes, I went. And I raised all this money to go over to such and so, and then I stayed, you know, I was sick for 12 weeks and came back. Well, I wish we had, brother, a reason in the Bible that told us why people in the body of Christ are weak and sick and many sleep. If there was just a reason. If we could just find one verse of Scripture that would tell us the reason why people are weak and sick and die. Not discerning the Lord's body. Did you see that? Brother, you're strong on that. What about? Yeah, I know what about. We're filled with a world of whatabouts. And if you go and hang out with all the whatabouts and keep the whatabouts in your head, they will fill up your head and you'll never have the truth in there. And you come in there and pluck all the whatabouts out of your ears. Go to the doctor for that. Doctor, I got to get these whatabouts out of my head. What about this? What about that? What about Sister So-and-so? What about, you know, she was a good Christian. She died. What about? What about that famous preacher? I had a mighty healing ministry. We've all had that what about. We've all thought this what about. Well, what about it? What about this scripture here? You know, and the ones who know say that you have to apply these things for yourself. I don't care if you got the mightiest healing ministry on the face of the earth. You still need to discern the Lord's body because you're part of the body, and this verse of Scripture applies to you personally. So you turn that, what about you? Are you going to walk in this verse of Scripture? Are you going to use everybody else's whatabouts to keep from receiving it for yourself? I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Was Paul a healing preacher? Was Paul a new covenant preacher? So he'd received this and he was delivering it unto them. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. The Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for who?" Broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I have received of the Lord. Then he said, that took this bread, he broke it for you. And until you come to that place in Scripture and in your life where you say, he broke the body, the bread, his body, by his stripes, for me, for my healing, for my sicknesses and disease that have been trying to get on me. And until you discern that, then you're subject to all of the other whatabouts in the earth and all the other sicknesses and the bird flu and the swine flu. They snort when they come up. Or they cluck at you. Maybe that's what you do. You know, when you get it, instead of sneezing, you cluck. Or you snort. Not discerning the Lord's body. Personally, discerning the Lord's body. So today, we are going to have communion today. And I'm trying to build some faith into you that when you receive of the Lord that which he's already spoken, you're going to receive it for what? What are you going to discern? The Lord's broken body for you. Now, why do you suppose his body was broken? For us, but what for what? What was the point? So you don't have to be broken. That's the point. When somebody did something for you, it's so that you don't have to do it. Chris, I come and I do your homework. Does he have to do it if I did it for him? He was broken for you. So if he's broken for you, then what are you broken for? This is why the body of Christ shouldn't be broke. Because he was broke for you. And there's more truth to that than that. I mean, he bore our poverty in the same way that he bore our sickness and bore our diseases. And sins, of course. Well, one of the greatest reasons he had to break the body, and I was meditating on this. Yes, I'd meditate on things. Was that's how you get the blood out. Something had to be broken for the blood to come out. Yeah, right? I mean, they didn't just prick him with a needle and suck all the blood out. He had to be broken. All right. Take that and chew on it if you want. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Is healing a good thing? Is healing, you know, the people who really appreciate healing are the ones that are sick. But the best time to be feeding on healing is when you're not sick. That's when they give you the injections and the, what are those called? The flu shot or whatever. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to preempt it so they give you a little bit of it so that your body builds up an immunity to it. So if we're not sick, then what do? We're building up an immunity to sickness by discerning the Lord's body. And is that better than getting sick and being under it and not feeling like it and not holding fast to your confession? When you're under it, nobody likes to do that. It's not fun. I've been there, done that. It's better to see the sickness and then just resist it immediately. Don't let it come on you. Can't come on me because by his stripes I'm healed. Sickness can't come on my body. How can you say that? I've discerned the Lord's body. I've discerned what happened to the Lord's body. And is this just a mental discernment? It might start there because you got to understand what's happening, but it's a spiritual discernment. Sometimes it takes time for that to settle down on the inside of you. We're talking about spiritual forces that resist sickness and disease. That's how sickness and disease came into the earth. Many times Jesus would say, he cast out the spirit of infirmity. It was a spiritual infirmity. And we could trace it all the way back, and I don't have time today, but it all came in through the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. All sickness came in through that sin. That's where death came from. Jesus is Lord. My goodness, people. See, and the reason, you might not know this or not, but one of the reasons I can say all of those things right on top of each other, because most of you have heard this stuff, and all I'm doing is laying another vitamin on top of it. Nobody has to come in and just lay the foundation layer upon layer, because you've already been there. So what you do when you meditate on something, it goes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And pretty soon you're strengthened and strengthened. Like sedimentary rock. You know what that's like, right? Every season something washes over you and it puts another layer of silt. And that compacts down. Then another flood season comes up and puts another layer of silt down. Sedimentary rock. Another layer upon layer upon layer. And pretty soon it becomes a rock. Brother, are you calling me sedimentary rock? Yes. Hallelujah. It's my plan. Be a rock. A rock in what area? Divine healing. It'd be better for me as a pastor to have people that knew how to be healed and maintain their healing than to have to run around and pray for everybody all the time. Well, you just don't want to work. Well, no, I think that's better for you. It's better for you to stay healthy. Be healthy and know how to stay healthy. And resist sickness on your own. Right? I don't receive it. Yeah, but you're sneezing. I don't receive it. I don't know whose sneeze that was, but it wasn't mine. I don't receive it, because by his stripes I'm healed. Sickness cannot stay on my body. Hachu. See, there's another one. I don't know whose that was, but it better get out of here, because I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. What if you don't feel like it? What if you're under the weather? Well, I don't know what that means. under the weather. There's always weather. And that's the point. We need to build this ship just like Noah. Nail upon nail. Piece of wood upon piece of wood. And then to the point where it will go above the storm every single time. A good boat, yeah, I don't care how much water you put in there, still rise right up to the top like a piece of cork. And that's where we want to be. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack. Why? Because we've discerned what the Lord Jesus has done for me. It's easier to discern for what he's done for somebody else, and you can tell them, well, what you need to do is blah, blah, blah. But you need to do it yourself. And this is why many of our former healing ministers have lost it, is because they were not building their own faith. They were operating in a gift of the Spirit that was for other people. I don't know, brother. My hand starts to tingle. And I lay it on people's heads and they get healed. Well, what about you? That's where you have to discern the Lord's body just like everybody else. You people here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I didn't even read that. Matthew, I better hurry up. Glory be to God forever. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed two of the people that were sick. And his two friends. No, he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He healed how many? If you were in the crowd that day, and you had something, would you have been healed?
Yes.
Even if you were plagued by the worst case of hangnails anyone's ever been, and they were even hanging off your eyelids, would you have been healed? Yes, according to this verse of Scripture, he healed all that were sick that it might be fulfilled. So has this been fulfilled? Is the Word of God true today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We won't belabor this point. Go to 1 Peter 2:24. Glory be to God forever. Who his own self bare, whose sins in his own body? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Says ye. Everybody say ye.
Ye,
ye means me. Ye means me. By whose stripes you were healed. By what? By the stripes that were on Jesus' back or all over his body. I'm sure when they whipped, I don't think they were really careful just to whip the back part, because they were kind Roman soldiers. And they used feathers. No, these things will whip all the way around you. And literally, the Bible says he was marred more than any man and unrecognizable even. This was his body being broken for who? For you. This is what we discern. This is why it's so great. Because he did it for you. He did the homework for you. He took the sickness for you. Do you see how it's impossible? If you discern this the right way, it's impossible for sickness to stay on you. It cannot, because it's already been paid for. It's already been taken away. Can we come up in this? Discerning the Lord's body, so we can come up in this, can't we? Now, does this cover all of our body? Does this cover every sickness and every disease? Now, it had to, number one, it had to cover every sickness and every disease, because he healed them all. And for him to say that by his stripes you were healed, it had to cover whatever you're dealing with. Regardless if anyone ever lays hands on you. This is the other thing. Discerning the Lord's body, do you have to wait until the Sunday prayer line to receive healing? Well, first of all, if you had to, it could have been 2,000 years ago. That's when the original prayer line was. That's when he bore the sickness. But it's active today. Everybody say it's active.
It's active.
Today,
in my body.
Healing.
Healing.
Now you maintain that, you're beginning to discern the Lord's body. The problem is, and it goes back to that elevator illustration, if you get off on every floor and you're starting to look at things, and you know, never even look at the progress. Once you start looking at the progress and you start looking at your physical condition, then all of a sudden you're not looking where you need to be. That by his stripes you are healed. That's where your eyes are at. Always that by his stripes I'm healed. Well, what about? I don't care. What about? Who are these whatabouts? We've been fed a bunch of whatabouts. But God's word is true. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13. Jesus is Lord. Does this include every sickness and every disease? I tell you, yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, but what about? No, what about? By his stripes you were healed, so whatever it is that you have been dealing with, that's what was healed. You understand that? Christ has redeemed us. Who? Us. From the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He didn't do any of this for himself. He wasn't sick. He wasn't in sin. And he wasn't poor. So he bore your poverty, he bore your sin, he bore your sickness. Why? For us. Everybody say, discerning the Lord's body. Oh, Father, help us to discern the Lord's body so that we can live all the ways that we're supposed to live by discerning this wonderful thing that you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us. Everybody in this room, all of us, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, is God just pulling things out of a hat to make something up here? I'll just say they were redeemed from, well, the curse of the law. He's just pulling off the top of his head. But God wasn't just making this up. He didn't just one day, I think I'll insert this one. No, this was all of his plan the whole time. He made a curse of the law. He made a blessing of the law. He specifically made the curse of the law so Christ could redeem us from it. Yeah, but what's under the curse? Quick, let's go there. Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see the blessing and the curse. He enumerates the blessing and he enumerates the curse. I just want to show you one verse of scripture here. Verse 61. 28:61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So he already listed a whole bunch of terrible sicknesses. And if that wasn't bad enough, he said every sickness and every disease that isn't even written in here. What about? All the what about? Yeah, but what about back in that day? They didn't have palpitating heart murmurs. What about? He covered it right here by saying every sickness and every disease that isn't even written in here. Them, those are under the curse. Just to cover the whole thing, and that's how Jesus could redeem you from all the curse of the law and include all sickness, all disease, everything. Think of something you've been dealing with. That's under it. You're redeemed from that. Everyone say, I'm redeemed from that. And so when the doctor goes, oh, what is that? You can go, exactly. And that's what I'm redeemed from. Christ redeemed me from that. Yeah. Glory be to God forever. So, when Paul says, I received of the Lord, Starting to see this? I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Now, do you have faith for what we're about to do? We're going to receive. And some, you know, in a lot of churches, you're not taught this. You're not shown specifically what this is all about. They do it in a religious fashion. I did growing up as a kid. I think every first Sunday of the month. And you know what I said as a kid? I said, oh no, that means the service is going to be longer. Because I knew it took a certain amount of time to do all of this. I'm just being honest with you. And I was like, oh, brother, here we go. But nobody was teaching me. Or at least if they did, I didn't hear any of it. But to specifically say why the body was broken, do we know why his body was broken now? For what? It was broken for you. Specifically, sickness and disease, broken for you. Your sickness. That. Redeemed from that. So today, and I think it's a wonderful, ingenious thing. I think God's very smart. It's an ingenious thing that he said as often as you do this. So when you are faced with something, faced with a sickness, faced with an ailment or something, this is a wonderful thing to do because you have that point of contact and you can say, as soon as I eat this, then that thing in my body needs to go. And from that moment on, what are we going to say about it? And I'll get there a little bit later. Well, we know we walk by faith and not by sight. As soon as you've consumed, as soon as you've broken that bread, as soon as you've swallowed it and it's going through your body, from that moment on, what are you? Healed by his stripes. I'm healed by his stripes, according to his word. By his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Glory be to God forever. Are you there? The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Judge yourself. Judge yourself right now of sickness. If you were the judge, if you were the doctor, and they come and they strip you and stand you in front of them, and they were to judge you, oh, you got a spot over here. Oh, you got, oh, and your leg isn't working well. I don't care what it is. You judge yourself and judge that sickness. Judge that thing and say, no more. From this moment on, when I am going to discern the Lord's body and not my own, that by his stripes you were healed. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this symbolic use of bread, that we can break it and consume by faith in the broken body of the Lord. Father, we discern right now that on his body was placed our sickness. You broke his body so that ours would be fixed. Ours would not be broken. Ours would be healed. Right now, Father, we receive the fix in our body and we discern the Lord's body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may eat the bread. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Glory be to God forever. I am healed. What are you healed of? That thing. You judged it. You discerned the Lord's body. You're healed of that thing. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to be healed. It's a joyous, wonderful thing to be healed. It's like the opposite of being sick, weak, or dead, by the way. If you learn to do this, weakness will flee. Learn to do this, sickness has to flee. Learn to do this, death has to flee until you're satisfied. With long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. There's not a time to die. Well, until your time. No, the Bible doesn't say that. It says it's given unto every man once to die and then the judgment. It doesn't say a time to die. We can decide the time to die. We could all run right out in the road right now and lay down and prove this point. Do it, brother. No. Who decided the time? You did. You can eat nothing but French fries. Oh, brother, should I even? You can eat nothing but French fries for the next year. If you're alive at the end of the year, we'll all go, that's a miracle. Right? So we have something to do here. Glory be to God. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What am I doing here? Oh, you still got time. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same manner, he took the cup. In the same manner. Huh. So, have we been doing this in a certain way? Well, in the same manner, we need to be doing the same thing with the cup. What's that mean? He's going to break our blood or he broke his blood? No. The same manner. What are you going to do? You're going to discern the Lord's body. You're going to discern the Lord's blood. Oh, Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying... See, now look at that. When he had supped, and you wonder, well, brother, can't we do the cup? Because my mouth is dry from the cracker. He said, after they had supped. So there was time that went on here. In the same manner, he took the cups. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, or the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the cup, the blood represents what? The new covenant in his blood. Is this different than the blood of bulls and goats? In the blood of bulls and goats, they could have walked under the blessing and have been healed. And have been prospered. So why didn't he just add some more sheep blood or something? Bigger, better covenant established upon better promises. This do ye as often as so, and in these times when if you're having a difficulty with either sin or some other kind of thing, go to the blood. Partake of the blood and renew yourself in those things. Discern the Lord's body. Discern the Lord's blood. How do you get into heaven? The blood. How do you resist the devil? The blood. You get to heaven and they're not opening the doors and banging on it. They like, why should we let you in? The blood. The blood. Whose blood?
Jesus'
blood. Why should I let you in? Because he shed it for me. Do you see? It's the same thing. In the same manner. In the same way. Do the same thing. Recognize that the blood was shed for you. The body was broken for you. Everyone else could be healed and you're not healed because you're not discerning that the Lord shed his blood for you. You're not discerning that he broke his body for you. It's a personal thing. Whether anybody else does it or not, you. Everybody say, if anybody doesn't do it,
me.
I will.
If
everybody else gets sick, I'm not going to because I discern the Lord's body. If nobody else is going to walk with God in the fullness of his plan because they don't understand the blood and they're not discerning the covenant that's in his own blood, then so what? You walk in it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. The way in is through the power of the blood. What are you on the other side of this blood wall, so to speak? A new creature. All things are of God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new and all things are of God. This didn't happen under the old covenant. This didn't happen under the blood of bulls and goats. It could not happen. The blood wasn't powerful enough to create a new creature in the image of God. The God-man. I ain't getting in trouble for that. That's the truth. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So he has reconciled us unto God. All things are of God, and he's reconciled us to God. No wonder this is a better covenant with better promises. This is the new covenant in my blood. And we've been living way below as sinners saved by grace. No, it's no longer sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things are new. All things are of God. Glory be to God. In the same manner, we're discerning the blood. Is this a good thing? Maybe you don't like this. Maybe you don't like the fact that he shed his blood for you, giving you the ability to be completely brand new, completely in covenant with the living God who has everything. He's the owner of everything. And you're his son and daughter. Through what? The blood, the covenant that's in his blood. It's a powerful, wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry. Brother, Jesus' ministry was pretty good on the earth. Wasn't it? I mean, we try to pattern ourselves after Jesus' ministry. If we had that, we'd be thinking we were pretty good, wouldn't we? He healed them all. Oh. So must be his ministry now is lesser because he does not heal them all anymore. It's a lesser ministry. Not according to this Bible. It says he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Yes. More excellent. Yes, more. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. He mediates this better covenant. Out of all the wonderful things he did on the earth, he healed people, maimed people. Maimed means nothing there, okay? A person with a maimed arm means that, well, their arm ends before it should. The maimed were made whole. And sometimes when they stretched forth their hand, there wasn't one there to stretch forth, and they stretched it forth, and it was made whole. That's a pretty good ministry, right, Julia? We're like, yeah, that's a good ministry. But he's obtained a more excellent one because it's established upon better promises. It's a better covenant. Better than the maimed being made whole. Better. How could it be better? How could anything be better than that? Well, let's just see. Now hath he obtained a more, he hath obtained it. It's his. A more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. What's his ministry now? He's mediating. What? Yes, but his position is to mediate this better covenant. Established upon better promises, the sons and daughters of God. No one was a son or daughter of God back under his ministry. But now he's mediating this. And then we know what the promise is, don't we? The promise. The promise. He's able to mediate and administer. Remember, he said, I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to send another. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Nobody could have the Holy Ghost when before in his ministry. But now he's mediating a better covenant with a better promise. What would the better promise be? God himself coming into the earth and hanging out with you. That's better than just having your maimed arm healed. That's good. But that's old covenant. It's included in the new covenant because it's all wrapped in there. It's the same covenant, better. Better blood, and I'll show you that. Hang on. Wow, this gets good. Feel free to run around the room anytime you want. And I'll follow you. Or maybe I'll run around your room, you follow me. Glory be to God forever. Better covenant, better promises. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission or removal of sin. Talking about the remission of sin. So in the old covenant, I'll just bring up to speed here. In the old covenant, they never had their sin removed, did they? It was just covered. So God could sort of look at you through his hand or whatever and say, okay, I won't fry you, and I will bless your crops, and you'll have many children. And He was blessing them, but it was almost a holding his breath type thing, because the sin was not removed. They couldn't just come into his presence and sit on his lap. They weren't his sons and daughters like you are. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. So does he have to do this again every time that you remember the blood? You're discerning. Remember, we're discerning what's in the blood, what the blood is about. He doesn't have to do it again and again and again and again. This is why the blood isn't changed into actual blood when I pray over it. He doesn't have to. It's been done. You're discerning. What about Jesus' broken body? Does it have to be done every time? When you break the bread, does his body actually break? You break it and he goes, ow. It's already broken. We're discerning the Lord's body. We're discerning the Lord's blood. And it's through the discerning of that that faith comes, and we can walk in it, and we walk above the issue, above the problem. Discerning. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. Everybody say once. Into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? This is so much better. They only had limited redemption. We have eternal redemption obtained for us eternally, Alan. It's as far as this can go. The problem is we haven't been discerning it. We've been discerning, well, if I take a little bit, because I don't want to take too much, Julia. Just a little bit, and I'll still be a sinner, but I'll be saved by grace. And God will have mercy on me. When he's obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Redeemed from what? Everything. What are you going to be redeemed from when you get to heaven? Everything. Well, except, and what about? Because that's what the devil's going to say. Well, what about? This isn't included. It is included. He obtained through his blood his new covenant, eternal redemption. What about mere family members coming in? Eternal redemption, the blood. Next time they plague you in your head like, oh, brother, they could never be saved. The blood. The blood. I speak the blood on them and watch. You just see what the blood will do. Eternally redeemed. They call you up on the phone, they start blobbering, you go, the blood, eternally redeemed. Hang up. That means you. Hallelujah. You see how this is so much better? It's established, it's better blood, number one, that brought us into a better covenant, which is established upon better promises, and it's eternal redemption. The church has just been stupefied by religion and held under, so we can't even see who we really are. But at some point, we're going to have to become the sons of God manifest in the earth. And then the Lord will come back for a real nice-looking bride instead of a haggardy one with the teeth falling out. The hair all, the peg leg. She looked good until she took her peg leg off. Now, I'm not picking on anybody with a peg leg, but the maimed were made whole. They were all healed through the broken body by discerning the Lord's body. Now, through discerning the blood of the covenant, and I told you, it gets really big. Why did he break the body? So that the blood could come out. So this new covenant could come out. Woo! Hallelujah! Hebrews chapter 10. Brother, you're staying in the book of Hebrews. I know. Glory be to God. You should read it sometime. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every high priest stands daily and ministers offering. Yes, oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, what was the offering for sacrifice for sins forever? His blood. His blood for sins forever. Forever. I don't care what the sin is. Right? I don't care what you did. Those sins were, the blood has been offered forever. Hallelujah. Sat down on the right hand of God. He's done, people. He offered the blood. He broke his body. We're supposed to discern it. He offered the blood. We're supposed to discern it. And then he sat down. For what?
Because he was tired.
Look at this, verse 13. From henceforth, expecting. Everybody say expecting.
Expecting.
Till his enemies be made his footstool. He offered the blood. Now he's expecting you to discern the power in that blood. Because he's expecting. Is that faith? That's another word for faith, isn't it? Does Jesus have faith in his own blood? So he must believe that his blood has the power in it, if discerned, to put every enemy under his feet, the last of which is death. Why are so many weak and sick among you? Many sleep, because they're not discerning the Lord's body and the power of the blood. It even supersedes death. And eventually, the church is going to do this. I want to be one. I want to be one of these that discerns the power in the blood of the Lord Jesus to the point where death is put under our feet. Well, what are you going to do to him then? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't kill him anymore. They tried to kill Paul. Do you remember this? They tried to kill Paul, and actually it says they killed him, what, three times? But he kept coming back.
Hallelujah.
I have received of the Lord that which I'm speaking unto you. You know, unless you know, the pain would probably not be too exciting. But that's why he said when they were in a riot in that one city, they were in an uproar because he preached the gospel. And you know what he says? Send me in there. I'll talk to him about it. He was the one that they were all freaked out about, and he was going to go in there. Was he a glutton for punishment? No. He'd received of the Lord. He could beat him up all he wants. Beat away. I'm used to it. I'll just be raised again from the dead.
Yes.
Discerning the Lord's body. Is there power in this?
Yes.
Oh, brother, I can't tell you how much. But God can, because it's a supernatural revelation. When you meditate on it, it'll get down into you. Pretty soon, nothing will be able to stand. It's the same way with sickness and disease. At some point, that just goes off on the inside, and you go, well, by his stripes, I'm healed. But there's a difference in when you said, by his stripes, I'm healed, than the 1,500 times you said it before. Because all of a sudden that revelation dawned on your spirit and you said, by his stripes I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, sickness leaves. Hallelujah. I almost preached there. Watch out. Whew. Glory be to God forever. I didn't even read all that. Henceforth expecting. So Jesus shed his blood and sat down. Does he have faith in the blood? Should we have faith in the blood? Our faith has to meet his faith. Have the faith of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Well, the word has that faith within it to bring itself to pass. Just like a seed has its faith, has the whatever it is in it, the genetic structure in it to make the same thing. So the blood, when we discern the blood of the Lord Jesus, it will produce in us the same thing that he's expecting it to. And what is it? What's he expecting it to do? From henceforth expecting. Brother, I just wish he would tell us what he's expecting it to do, because then we could expect it to do the same thing. Oh, here it does. Never mind. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Enemies, all his enemies. He's expecting the power of the blood to make his enemies, what?
His
Lord, his master, his footstool. He's expecting it. So what are we going to expect, people, today when we discern the power of the Lord's blood and we discern and partake of it? What are you going to expect?
Nothing. I just, you know, I'm expecting this dryness to leave my mouth.
You're expecting your enemies to be made, Are you here? Are you expecting your enemies to be made your footstool? What's your enemy? Maybe you haven't been out there enough. You need more enemies. That's why Paul was looking at it. Remember, I've received of the Lord. That's why he said, "Let send me into that writhing, crazed crowd that are angry at me. I will calm them down." It's like, no, you're not gonna. What was he expecting? Footstools. You should be a consumer of footstools. Just the best footstools. You go into your house, it's got this like a museum of footstools. What are these for? Well, that one's sickness and disease. It's my footstool. It's under my foot. Oh, that one's poverty. Oh, footstool. Nice. I like that one. That one's strife and anger. What's going to do this? The blood. The power of the blood. Jesus is expecting it to do something. Why don't you just join your faith to his and expect the power of the blood to put that thing under and put it down? It'll happen. And then what are we going to do? And praise him. Go to verse 19. He's expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Let me read 14 first. For by one offering he has forever perfected them that are sanctified. Wow. This gets as big and as far as you can take it, okay? Brother, I can't take it. Uncle. Oh, you can take more. You can take it. Hit me with it, brother. 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, now you're going to have what? Faith and expectancy in the blood. As we know about the old time priests, when they went in with blood and bulls and goats, they had faith in the blood of bulls and goats that they weren't going to die when they went into the, right? And they would even tie a little rope around their feet and little bells on them so that they knew that if they heard a loud resounding bunch of bells clang, as if someone had fallen over, they would know that, well, he didn't do that right. And they could drag him out. Otherwise, there'd be a whole bunch of people in there. Yeah. Having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest. Everyone, the Jews knew, this is to the Hebrews, remember? The Hebrews are Jews. They knew what he was talking about, to enter into the holiest. He's telling them to personally enter into the holiest. By the what? The blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He consecrated it for who? No, he consecrated it for the preacher. He can do that. No, he consecrated it for you. Everybody say me. He did it for me. He shed his blood for me so that you could enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. 21, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, what are we going to do? Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Jesus sat down after having shed his blood and cleansed it for you. He sat down from henceforth expecting that his enemies would be made his footstool. Where are his feet, people? Who's his feet? If you are the lowest one in the body of Christ, if you are the toe, the pinky toe of the body of Christ, you are still above his enemies on the footstool. He's expecting all of his enemies to be put under feet by the power of the blood that he shed. Are you here? Then he tells us, since we have this high priest, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So today, when we receive the element of the blood, we're going to discern what? The taste? No, we're going to discern the covenant. We're going to discern what Jesus did. We're going to discern that Jesus is seated, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. What are we going to expect? The same thing, that all enemies shall be put under my feet. All of them. You're a connoisseur of fine footstools. They will be put under there. All of them. Everybody say all of them. All enemies put under your feet. Is sickness an enemy? Is poverty an enemy? Is depression an enemy? All of these things are enemies. Is not knowing what to do an enemy? Stupidity an enemy? All of them. Much better promise, much better covenant. And what are we going to discern? You know what happens? At some point, if you confess and hold fast to the profession of your faith, that by his stripes you are healed, at some point it just goes off on the inside of you, kapoom, and you go, by his stripes I'm healed. And it wouldn't matter if you said it again. At least for that specific thing, all of a sudden you're like, I know I'm healed. Even if you don't feel healed, even if you don't look healed, if you don't sound healed, you still, there's something on the inside of you that's unshakable. It's a knowing. It's supernatural. And then you laugh at it. You go, ah, ha, 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 ha. You've discerned the Lord's body in that area. Jesus is henceforth expecting. He sat down. He's expecting you to discern something. What is he expecting you to discern? That your enemies have been made your footstool. Is he expecting you to discern that sickness can't hold you anymore, that you have been healed and the sickness can't come on you? He's expecting you to discern that through the broken body. Hello? So is he? What is he expecting for you to discern through the power of the new covenant of the blood? That all your enemies are made your footstool. Is it going to happen overnight? I hope so, but generally not. But by discerning it, each and every one of those enemies will be put one by one under your feet. Is this good news?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our mental problems an enemy. All things are put under our feet. Hallelujah. Through the power of the blood. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your blood that you shed. We believe your word where you said you took the blood, cleansed the temple, sat down, forever perfecting us. And that you're seated there right now, forever expecting enemies to be made our footstool. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive this blood. We, right now, beginning today, expect our enemies to be made our footstool by the power of this blood. And we'll remind you, we'll remind the circumstances and situations that we have received this blood covenant today, and all of our enemies must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Receive the blood. Hallelujah.
My enemies
are my footstools. In Jesus' name. Now, what are we going to do? Read it. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What if we waver? Well, then you're not doing the word. That's it. You know, we're not going to go with the what ifs again. What if you don't waver? Yeah, but. We're not going to. We're going to obey the Bible. We're not going to waver. Our enemies are made our footstool. Flip over one couple chapters there. I will end with this. You know where you're at, right? This is the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. It's two elements. We're going to receive the third. Brother, is that in the book of Hebrews too? I'm glad you asked. Yes, sir. Hebrews Chapter 7. Hallelujah. In verse 1. You there? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and what? And blessed him. This man, this priest, we were just talking about Jesus, were we not? Having obtained a more excellent ministry. Everybody say more excellent. So he's seated there expecting every enemy to be made the footstool. This is his priestly office right now. Right now. This priest, Melchizedek, to whom also, verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part. Everybody say a tenth part. What does that mean? 9.2? It's pretty simple. I think God kept it simple so, you know, people that are stupid could get it. Keep it simple, stupid. Tenth. Means out of every dollar, the first dime doesn't even belong to you. What are we going to do? What are we going to do this morning? Are we going to discern something? We've already discerned the power of the broken body. By his stripes, I was healed. The power of the blood, the shed blood, by the blood of Jesus, all of my enemies are made my footstool. All of them. Now what are we going to discern? The priestly office and the tithe. What does the tithe do? To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part or a tithe of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. And after that, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Righteousness and peace. You could probably run with that for hours. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto who? The Son of God abides a priest continually. And people can get into this, be all theological if they want to. But basically, this was Jesus' office. And it is his office. And it's his office now, because this is what he's talking about here. That Jesus entered into this office of Melchizedek, who receives tithes. So he's seated at the throne of God, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool, but he's also receiving tithes. Without father, without mother, okay, abides a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people. But they had a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Verse 6, but he whose descendant is not counted, from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. What was the result of him giving the tithes? Abraham, was Abraham great? It's at least in our faith. He's the father of our faith, right? Is he great to us? Well, this is saying that Melchizedek, who had no beginning of days nor end of years, he just appeared and then disappeared, which is how we can say had to be a representative of the office of Melchizedek that Jesus is standing in today. The lesser is blessed of the greater. This one is greater than Abraham. Is Jesus greater than Abraham? Yes, hallelujah. Well, brother, Abraham didn't need to be blessed. He was doing fine. I know. But it wasn't his to do anything with. God was showing him. This is the first we see of the tithe. He's giving the tithe to the priest. And the priest blessed him. I'm not the priest. So you don't have to come and confess your sins to me behind a closed door. Take a number. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the priest. The priest. Who's the priest? Jesus. Who obtained a greater ministry, a more excellent ministry? Jesus did. So when we bring our tithes, remember, we're discerning the Lord's body. We're discerning the power of the blood. Now we're discerning what it means to give our tithe. Who are we giving it to? We're giving it to Jesus so that he can bless us. You're being blessed of the King of Heaven. Well, I just don't want that. I think that it's good to struggle and fight for everything you have. Wouldn't it be just better to be blessed from the King of Heaven? Walk around with a silly grin on your face. Why? Because I'm blessed. I'm blessed from the King of Glory. I'm blessed from the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blesses. No, what do you think he's blessing here? What are we giving? We're giving the tithe. We're giving of our money. What do you think he's going to bless? Does God have any control over the financial realm? Can he just sneeze a blessing on you if God were to sneeze? And it would be more than you could handle. Hallelujah. Verse 7, if that's not circled, circle it. And without all contradiction, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Hallelujah. Verse 8, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed he lives. Hallelujah. He's mediating a better covenant upon better promises. And then he receives a tithe of you. And what's he do? This is why I say people got to get it out of their head that they're thinking they're giving something when they give the tithe. They're not giving anything. They're just returning to God the thing that he's already gave them. What are they getting? What are they receiving? They should be discerning the blessing. And then what are we going to do? We're going to hold fast the profession of our faith. What? Does it do any good? Does it do any good for Melchizedek to bless you? Does it do any good for the Lord Jesus Christ to bless you financially? Then when you tithe, what's your confession? I'm blessed. The King of Heaven is breathing on me right now. Breathing the blessings on me everywhere I go. Henceforth expecting financial enemies to be made your footstool. You expect it. You people here? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we're going to receive the third element. Brother, why do you call it the third element? For that reason. It falls in line with the same thing, except it's in the financial realm. We're not giving, just like you didn't give. Did you give the blood?
No.
It was given to you. When you start to realize the finance that you've got, they were given to you. You're just returning it to him. So you return a little grape juice to him, but you are returning to him discernment of what that means. You're discerning. You got 1 minute? What if you don't discern the value of the tithe? You don't receive it. How many people gone to church for years and never discerned the value of the broken body or the blood? Never discerned it. So you never live in it. It's through the discerning that you can partake of the power of the tithe. It's the third element. In the financial realm, and what are you going to expect? Your enemies to be made your footstool. So when we receive this offering, we'll do it right now, we'll pray, but when we receive this offering, you're going to believe that God is breathing on you his blessing, financial blessing. And from that point on, what? Your enemies are made your footstool in that area? And you're blessed. You are blessed. And so you got the mark of the blessing on you from there on. Because you've partaken. What are you sick now? You received, you discerned healing that was for you. Then we received the covenant that was in the blood that was for you. Enemies are my footstool. Now, through the tithe, we're blessed. Super abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. It's happening to me now. Hallelujah.